good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 51. 51. Praise the Savior, ye who know Him. Who can tell how much we owe Him? Gladly let us render to Him all we are and have. Jesus is the seated. We'll sing hymn number 127. 127.
Good evening. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 32. Psalm chapter 32. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old, through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in the bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one that we seek, the one we look to. We pray, Lord, and thank you that you've caused us to come here, come to this place where we can hear the truth about salvation, the truth about our Savior, come where we can hear the truth about ourselves. We pray, Lord, for your visit tonight, that you'd send the Holy Spirit to be among this body of believers. Pray that you'd meet their needs. Bless them, Lord. Cause them to be well. We pray for Brother Cody as he stands before us tonight again, that you'd cause him to tell us about Christ like he did this morning. Amen. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. Pray for my family, Lord, that don't know you and don't seem to care. Pray that you'd give them a need. Cause them to come hear the gospel. And I pray, Lord, that you give the doctors wisdom and a steady hand with our great-grandson in the morning when he has his surgery. Pray, Lord, that you'd be with him and comfort him and be with his mom and dad and give him strength, Lord. Forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Number 31 in our course books. Oh, how merciful. 31 in the course book. When I was lost in sin and shame, blessed Lord, and so hell-bent. If thou sayest I must repent, blessed Lord, thou merciful, thou wast to me a wonder. Why should I rebel, and with the soul
me mention James' grandson, great-grandson. He had a granddaughter that was born with a heart defect and had to have surgery when she was a week old. This little baby, her son, he got born with the same one, so they're going to perform surgery on him in the morning. They have to build an artery in there, an artery that just does not work at all. So that's what that's about, and the Lord, please help them surgeons, and always remember Fran. Boy, this is the first day, and the rest of her life she'll be by herself. That'll be a big old empty house for her. And the Lord's people, they're so encouraging and so helpful in these kind of things. And also, we'll have Wednesday night service this Wednesday night. So if you're inclined to come, and I'll try to have something to say. And Cody, again, we love you and appreciate your preaching, your ministry, and your family. You come bring us the Lord's message.
Good evening. I invite your attention tonight to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, look with me starting in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's my prayer for us. Your grandbaby, that's my prayer for all of us, for all of our family, whether they're a little baby or knocking on death's door in old age. We need to be saved. Saved from our sin. That was Paul's prayer, and that's mine. Verse 2 says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. We need to forsake our ways, our works, our supposed righteousness, and look to Christ. Submit to Christ. He's the righteousness of God. There's one righteousness, and He's it. We need Him. We need Him to cover us. We need to be in Him. We need to be one with Him. Pray God would do that for us. Verse 5 says, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. If we're going to live, we've got to keep the whole law. And we're not fit to do that. It's too late. We've broken it. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. It's not, what are we going to do with Christ? Everybody thinks, what are you going to do with Jesus? Right? What are you going to do with Him? He's done this. What are you going to do with it? There's no place for that. What has He done? He came down. He came down here. He lived here. He died here. And He ascended up back to where He came from. We need faith in Him. We need to trust in Him. Look to Him. You know, in the context here, Paul, I believe his loved ones were just trying to keep the law and trying to satisfy God by what they were doing and what they weren't doing. Christ did it all. Rest in Him. Rest in Him. Look to Him and Him alone. Verse 8, but what saith it? What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, confess to Him. Our confession is to Him. We verbally confess amongst one another, but this matter of confessing has to do with confessing what we are and what we do. And we confess that to Him. He's the one from whom we need forgiveness. He's the one we need to be accepted by. Let's confess to Him, all right? Confess our utter ruin and our desperate need of Him. You know, if we have a need, it says God shall supply all our need through Him. Confess to Him. Confess to Him how hopeless we are apart from Him and just how badly we need Him to save us from ourselves. If God puts that confession in us, if we believe in our heart what God says about us, about Himself, about the Lord Jesus Christ, if He causes us to look away from self and trust in Christ, what's it say? Thou shalt be saved. If our hope is in Him and in Him alone, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We could spend a while here. I'm not going to. But salvation is, it's not an outward thing. Religion is so focused on outward appearance and outward deeds, and they don't understand. It's something that takes place in the heart. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and God Almighty knows it. We have a heart problem, and we can't fix it. Salvation is a work. It's a work we don't perform. It's a work God performs, and He performs it in the heart. Gives us a new heart. That's what we need. We need a heart of faith. We need a heart that believes God, and God alone. You know, the things that come out of our mouth reflect what's going on in our heart. We confess the Lord Jesus Christ verbally because we believe Him in the heart. If we don't confess Him, it's because we don't believe Him. We don't believe on Him. Verse 11 right here, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." Now, believing on Christ is unto salvation. And I love this. Believing on Him, how's that going to end for us? It's going to end well. We shall not be ashamed. I looked it up to see exactly what that means. It means we shall not be put to shame. Don't you hate to be put to shame? It's so embarrassing. But more than embarrassing, so much more than embarrassing, I can't imagine a worse thought than to close my eyes in death and to be entered into eternal shame, eternal desolation, separation from God. That's how important it is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. This matter of not being ashamed, it means one whom some hope has deceived. There's a lot of people hoping in something, and they're going to find out they were deceived. Not if we're hoping in Christ. Not if we're hoping in Christ. We shall not be disappointed. Not at all. Verse 12. "For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him." It doesn't matter who we are. You know that? You were just telling us a little bit of your background. Doesn't matter what our background is. Doesn't matter where we're from. Doesn't matter who our parents are, who our grandparents are. You know, a lot of people thrive in this life because of who they are. It don't matter who we are. And God's not going to be impressed with who we are and who our dad is. And nope. We must all give account for ourselves. It doesn't matter where we've been, what we've done, what we've not done, what we hope to do. All that's irrelevant. There's no difference. There's no difference. The same Lord over all, the sovereign Lord who reigneth over all of us, He's rich unto all them that call upon Him. Verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever. I love that word so much. You know, people will say that election, well, that just slams the door on my hope. It opens the door for mine. There would be no hope if it weren't for God's election. We'd all be hopeless. Like we read this morning, without Christ, without God, without hope in the world, dead in trespasses and sins, no peace. Whosoever, have you called upon Him? Have we called upon Him? What's hindering us from calling upon Him? What's hindering us from dropping everything and running to His feet? I want to show you this. Turn with me to Joel chapter 2, making you find the hard books today. If you remember where Nahum was, it's close. Joel chapter 2, I think it's after Hosea. Joel chapter 2. Before Amos, in my Bible page, 1139, Joel 2, verse 32. I'm just going to read this one verse, Joel 2, 32. If you can't find it, listen. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." All who need to be delivered are going to call upon the Lord to deliver them, and they're going to be delivered. Now, who's going to call upon the Lord? You see what the end of that verse said? the remnant whom the Lord shall call. That's who's going to call out. That's who's going to cry out to God for mercy. Though the remnant, according to the election of grace, they're going to call out. Now, while they are the only ones who are going to call out, whosoever, you see that again? It shall come to pass, and if God says that, it's done, it's true. It shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Call. What are we waiting on? Call upon Him. He'll deliver. He's able to deliver us, and He will deliver all who need Him to deliver them. Turn back to our text in Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 13 again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We can't truly call upon Christ if we don't believe on Him. You know, to truly call upon the Lord, I know people lost in religion will seemingly call upon the Lord, when in reality they're not actually calling upon the Lord. To truly call upon the Lord, we have to believe on Him. And we can't believe on Him if we have not heard of Him. Truly heard of Him, of who He really is. That's the problem with religion. They don't know who God is. They thought that He was altogether such an one as themselves. Not knowing that He reigns. We're in His hand. He's not in ours. No hands, no feet but ours. No, it's the other way around. Don't know who He is. And how are we going to hear about Him and His sovereign mercy and His infinite goodness to sinners, to all who need Him? How are we going to hear about Him without a preacher? So what you're saying is we need a preacher. Well, that's no problem. There's preachers everywhere. Look at the next verse. And how shall they preach except they be sent? We do need to hear a preacher. We sure do. But not just any preacher. We have to hear one whom God has sent. God warns us all throughout His Word about false prophets. He said, I've not sent them, yet they ran. I've not spoken to them, but they're running and spewing lies. Now, how can we know? How can we know if a preacher's been sent by God? And I just want to tell you this. I didn't write it down, but I can't help but recall this to my mind. I grew up under Pastor Fortner, and he'd asked me to speak one time, and I was scared out of my mind, and I gave it all I had. Well, then about 6 months later, by the way, I couldn't have come down from that pulpit fast enough. Just not much has changed. But about 6 months later, I believe he asked me again, and this time he gave me 2-day notice and good Don fashion and gave me my text, so I guess that was helpful, I guess. John 3. Buddy, I went home, I prepared an outline as fast as I could, and I was terrified. And the next day I woke up, went to go work my little concession stand I worked at, and I kept reading this verse, how shall they preach except they be sent? And I just thought, there's no way I'm sent. No way. And I finally got the courage to call him. I was scared of how this would go, but I called him and I said, Brother Don, how am I gonna stand and preach the gospel if I've not been sent by God? I said, I'm so sorry, I just don't feel sent. And he said, that's all right, buddy. And that was that. I didn't have to speak. I say that just to say this. It's so serious. I don't ask to come here, to get up here. God forbid. But if the Lord has sent me to speak, let me speak as the oracles of God. And you too, anybody else, if the Lord sends you to speak, speak. Speak freely from the heart. Speak of Christ. How do we know if a man's been sent of God? Verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How can we know? We can know by the message that they preach. We can know by the message that they preach. The message we preach manifests very clearly whether or not we're sent of God. There's one gospel. There's just one gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If we're preaching that gospel, then we're sent. We're preaching the gospel. And right here, God's word tells us that all preachers whom He sends have beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. Now, we don't see it in ourselves. I don't see anything beautiful about what you're looking at. How could I? But God says if a man's preaching His word, if a man's declaring Christ, that man has beautiful feet. I want to show you something. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. It might be my favorite text. It's certainly one of them. Jeremiah chapter 1. I want to read Jeremiah 1, verse 4 down through verse 12. Make a few comments. Jeremiah 1, verse 4. Now this right here is a God-saved and a God-sent preacher. All right? Jeremiah 1:4, then the word of the Lord came unto me. And that's how it starts. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, what was his response? I love this. Look at verse 6. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. Just so you know, I feel the same way. Every time I'm asked to do this, I feel that right there. Verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. That is a God-called, God-sent preacher. If we're going to be truly sent of God, God must ordain us. It must have been set in stone from long before we ever were. God must raise us up. He must send us. And I love how it tells us. He said, I'm going to command you what to speak. I'm going to send you and I'm going to tell you what to say. That's comforting to me. And He said, I'll be with thee. Remember what Moses said? He said, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. Lord, if you're not with me, don't let me climb those steps. Don't let me stand here and utter a word if you're not going to be with me. Every time I stand here, I need Him to touch me. That's what it said. Touch my mouth. Put His words in my mouth and enable the words to come out of my mouth. Words of praise and glory to Him. Words that are all about Christ. And I love this. The last thing we read there. I will hasten my word to perform it. It's not up to me. If you're going to be blessed tonight, it really has nothing to do with me. I'm up here. I get that. But if we're going to be blessed, we need God to do this. We need God to speak to us right here, right now. And if He does, It's going to be through his word and through a man whom he sent, according to his word. And I love to know this, what Isaiah said, I believe in chapter 55, wrote under inspiration of God, that God's word shall not return unto him void. Why? Because it's his word. He's the one that's sending it to accomplish the purpose that he's accomplished or sent it to accomplish. It's going to prosper in the thing whereto he sends it. It's his work from start to finish. Now, why is this so important? Why is it so important? I wanted to hit on this at least briefly. The purpose of this message is not to talk about how wonderful gospel preachers are, how beautiful we are. That is not what I'm here to tell you. This is simply the means the Lord hath chosen. It pleased the Lord through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's it. I don't want to glory, certainly, in myself. I don't want to glory in you. I don't want to glory in my pastor, Gabe. I want us all to glory in our Lord and Him alone. You read it this morning. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember the context here of what we're looking at, all right? Believing on Christ, trusting in Christ, confessing Christ. This is so important. Turn with me to John chapter 3. I mentioned John 3. Turn to John 3. And the message that I never brought was actually on John 3:36, and that's what I want to read. Now this right here, this verse, this is not a suggestion of what would be good for us to do. This is life or death. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see how important it is that who we hear has been sent of God? You see how important it is that whoever standing up here preach nothing but God's word and God's word alone? That we point us to Christ and nowhere else? It's life or death. We don't believe on Him. If we don't have Him, we don't have life. And nothing but the wrath of God, who we read of this morning, who's jealous and furious and will take vengeance on His adversaries. And all His enemies are going to be under His feet. This is so important. This is so important. Playing games isn't going to do it. When I think of false religion, that's ultimately what I think of. They're just playing games. It's too serious to play games. God forbid that I stand here and fail to declare the truth unto you. Paul said, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. But what is the gospel? How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's what it is. How that Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, quickened by the Spirit. Child of God, let's acknowledge this, okay? If God has enabled us to look away from our vain selves and trust in Christ and Christ alone, here's what God's word says about us. Ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Praise the Lord. Now, we're not going to be saved apart from hearing this gospel. Back in our text, in verse 17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We must hear the word of God and pray for God to give us faith to believe it. Now, let's make sure we understand this. If we do find ourselves believing, and that's how I always like to think about this. You know, people, again, lost in religion, will boast about their faith and, well, what keeps you going? My faith. Well, not mine. Christ does, but not my faith. I'm hoping in the faith of Christ. If God causes us to have that faith, to partake in that precious faith, let's make sure we understand He did it. He did it. He did it. Well, I decided to nail the Son of God to the tree. That's all I ever decided. Lord, give us faith. He's the one who saves. He's the one who calls. He's the one who draws. I think last time I was here, the text we looked at, it said, go out and bring them in hither. That's what God does for all his people. Bring them in. Back in our text, Romans 10, verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We proclaim the gospel of peace. Our feet have been shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, it's such a joy to get to stand here and proclaim peace, peace, wonderful peace. Such a glorious message. I love the song, like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect, yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect, yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised. Our brother Bill is finding as he promised. Perfect peace and rest. God's preachers. Verse 15, they preach the gospel of peace and they bring glad tidings of good things. We get to declare a finished work. We get to declare a successful Savior. There's nothing else worth declaring. There's no other message. There's none. It's finished. Look to Christ. May God cause us to look to Christ. What's our message? Christ. What's our hope? Christ. If you ask me to come again and I come again, our message is going to be Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we can never exhaust him. It's the subject that we could talk about forever and just be as ready to hear about him again as we were the first time we ever heard about him. You know, there's got to be a limit to how many degrees you can earn on a certain subject, but we'll never stop learning of him. Never. Because Christ is all. Christ is all. Now, how do God's preachers have beautiful feet? It's quite simple. Because they declare the beautiful feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. We declare the beauty of the Savior. We preach a person. Preach the Word. Christ is the Word. He's everything. I pray that we're not hung up on something else. A lot of people hung up on something else. The Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. I pray that we won't not be satisfied with Christ. Is Christ enough? Only if he's all we've got. If we're looking for something else, what are we doing? What are we doing? Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. There's no other God. No other God. Turn back to where we were this morning, Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. We preach him. We preach his beautiful feet. We preach his infinite goodness, his perfect peace, his sovereign reign, his full and free salvation. We preach him. Verse 8 says, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. That's the God-sent preachers. They shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. We lift up the voice God has given us, and we declare him who's upon the mountains like watchmen, watching over their city to protect their own. We warn of false hopes, and we keep coming back to Christ. We keep pointing one another to Christ and Christ alone over and over again, lest we stray from the simplicity, lest our minds be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. We can't harp on this too much. We really can't. And God's people, we see eye to eye, as verse 8 said. When the Lord brings us to trust in Christ alone, we've got everything in common. You remember, that's what they said when the Lord saved, I think, was it 5,000? They said, we have all things common. We see eye to eye because we're looking to Christ alone. He's our all. We do exactly what verse 9 here says. It says, break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. We rejoice and we sing because of what our God has done for us. He's comforted us. Has he? He's redeemed us. He's redeemed us. Verse 10, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm, that's Christ, in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The Lord Jesus Christ has been revealed to us. Right there in chapter 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report? Those to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed. God has been pleased to hide these things from the wise and prudent and reveal them unto babes. What, the things of Christ? Christ himself, the unsearchable riches of Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's been pleased to reveal that to us. Oh, how blessed we are. How blessed we are. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Give him the glory. Great things he hath done. All glory goes to him. Always. All glory goes to our Savior. We don't save ourselves. And those of us who are called upon to preach, we don't save anyone either. I think you mentioned the phrase, winning souls. Again, it's just the means God has given. God's the one that's going to win them. God's the one that, if you're saved, God saved you. You know it. If he saved you, you know it. I know it too. His work from start to finish. I love what the psalmist said, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. Don't let us glory in anything. Unto thy name and thy name alone be glory. For thy mercy. For thy truth's sake, by God's grace, I'm telling you this, and I mean it. I don't want the glory. By nature, we want all the glory for everything. Right now, my daughter, she's learning so much, and I tell her all the time, honey, I'm so proud of you. We tell her, you're so smart. But I know the danger in telling her these things. One day, she's got to think, why I am pretty smart, aren't I? Why, I am beautiful, aren't I? To God alone be the glory. To him alone. My prayer is that we might be saved. That's it. That we might be saved. That we might know Christ and be found in him. Having our own righteousness, which is of the law? No. That which is Christ, the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, Christ himself. Oh, I want to be robed in him, don't you? Oh, I want to be robed in him and sitting at his beautiful feet. Every time I get to come here and tell you about the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know this. It is such an honor. It is such a privilege to get to stand here and point you to the beautiful Savior. He's the only hope I have. He's the only hope there is. Not have I gotten, but what I received, grace hath bestowed. It says, since I have believed, but he causes us to believe. Boasting excluded, pride I base. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you. We thank you for your holy word. We know that every word of God is pure, and we rejoice in every word that you've been pleased to reveal to us. It all speaks of Christ, our Savior. Thank you so much for providing for us a perfect Savior, perfect Redeemer. Thank you for him and all his beauty. Thank you for his beautiful feet. I do thank you so much for raising up men to declare Christ and him crucified. And we acknowledge that their feet are beautiful too because of what you've done for them. And Lord, I pray that you would cause your word to pierce our heart, cause us to believe it, bow to it, receive it joyfully, cause us to look away from self and to the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone for all our hope of standing before you, of being in your holy presence. Lord, forgive us of all our sin. We pray for one another that you would lead us and keep us day by day. Help us to trust in you continually. Pray for the sick. Pray for Fran and her family. Pray for James and his family. Lord, be with us and bless us and keep us for Christ's sake. Amen.